Welcome to the Private Investment Podcast brought to you by Limited Partners Club. We bring together private sector investors to tackle subjects like wealth creation, capital preservation, and legacy. We hope you enjoy.
Hey everybody, Coburn Shepik here from Limited Partners Club. I hope you're having a fantastic day. In today's meeting, we're going to be talking about the differences between private equity funds and syndications. So this question has come up several times now, and we're going to keep it pretty high level today for the individuals who are sort of just entering the private investment space. We don't want to overwhelm this topic because it is pretty straightforward. Now, there is many different levels and things that should be understood in each of these categories, but we want to keep it pretty high level today to just understand the sort of underlying differences between these subjects, funds, and syndications. Now, today we'll use, throughout the conversation, everybody likes real estate, most people do at least. So we'll use, you know, real estate, commercial real estate as the sort of examples throughout today's discussion. So a few of the topics we want to get into today. One is understanding syndications. Then we'll jump into understanding funds and then sort of look at the differences between the two, funds versus syndications. And then at the end here, I want to give you an exclusive invite that we'll jump into that I'm excited to share. So firstly, to understand syndications, the main differences, the main point of a syndication is it's deal by deal. So to back up for a sec, a syndication and a fund is the pooling together of capital and resources to acquire assets. Now, again, we'll use commercial real estate as an example. So the idea is, or the deal is bringing together a group of individuals or families to acquire, for example, an industrial asset. Let's pretend that we have an industrial asset that we're looking at in Phoenix. It's a Class A asset. It's in a great location, and we want to acquire it. So the point is that we group together a group of individuals and families to bring together capital, and which would be the limited partners, which are the investors, which is one party in the entity that acquires it. The other party, there's two parties, the other party outside of the investors or the limited partners or the LPs would be the general partners, which is the sponsors of the deal, or the GPs. These are the individuals that are actually making the deal happen, financing it, managing the investment, managing the asset, and putting together the deal. So there's a lot that goes into this. So for syndications, these are deal by deal, meaning that it's one asset. We all know which asset we're going to acquire, and there's a process to acquiring it. So let me just talk about that for a sec. So again, we have this industrial asset that we're looking at in Phoenix. So what would happen is the general partners would have located this asset already. It might be under contract. It is under contract. And there's a period for raising the capital needed in order to acquire that asset. And there's a set business plan once the parties have closed on that asset. So for example, it could be a 7-year plan or a 5-year plan to acquire this and do whatever is needed, any key events, or just to hold the asset and then either refinance or dispose of that asset or sell the asset. And this is a predetermined plan, and it starts with locating the asset, raising the capital, and then following the business plan. And so one of the biggest benefits for investors in syndications is control. And let me speak on this for a second. So By control, I mean investors have the ability, unlike investing in stocks, for example, or the S&P 500, where there is a number of businesses, and within those businesses, there's a number of business plans and models and people involved and markets, and that's sort of out of your control. What the businesses do and the people that involved in those businesses do and the markets they approach, et cetera. In a real estate syndication, investors get the control, which can be a great thing, based on who they want to co-invest with, what markets they want to invest in, what types of assets they want to invest in, and what types of projects they want to be involved in. So there's a lot more shopping that's involved, which is a great thing, unless you are not obviously knowledgeable enough to make those decisions, which everybody should be, or at least, you know, have the basic understanding of real estate principles, or have somebody in your network that can help make those decisions. So control is a great thing, and people are biased towards certain things. Some people don't like retail. Some people don't want to invest in California. So people are definitely biased towards certain assets and markets, et cetera. Those are the main sort of points within a syndication. Now, what we won't get into today is what types of syndications there are. There's different types of syndications as far as how it's structured, how a waterfall works, what types of investors can be involved, whether it's accredited or non-accredited or both, what level of capital can be raised, et cetera. But these are the main points of understanding a syndication. Now, on the other hand, is funds. And so a fund, before we get into the points here, a fund is multiple assets. It's more so the idea. It's more so betting on investing in the jockey rather than the horse. So investors will seek to investment managers or fund managers to go out and follow a plan based on two factors, either an open-ended fund or a closed-ended fund. And so starting with a closed-ended fund, there's a predetermined plan as far as what types of assets we're looking for and how long this fund will be. Those are the main two parts to this. An open-ended fund is the opposite of a closed-ended fund, meaning that the asset types or project types are not necessarily predetermined, and there's no ending term. And so let me just explain one of these first. So again, these are multiple assets. They can be in multiple locations. For a closed-ended fund, it's mostly predetermined. Now, the assets are not predetermined, but the types, the profile of the investment is. And so for a closed-ended fund, there is a period in which the fund managers will raise capital. It could be a 12 to 18 month period, depending on the fund manager. And once the capital raise is closed, now fund managers will go out and deploy this capital based on the business plan. And as far as the term of the fund, it could be 10 years, it could be 12 years, it could be 15 years. Again, depending on the plan for this specific fund. Just to keep talking about the closed-ended fund right now, the benefits to this are that there could be multiple assets, which allows for some diversification, of course, which is a good thing. And the potential downside to this in the investor's eyes and for the overall plan is that there is a a rush once the capital has been raised during that first stage to go out and deploy this, which, as we know, markets shift all the time. And so there is some pressure for the investment managers to go out and deploy this capital, meaning acquire assets or start projects. And things could change during that 12 or 18 month period of raising capital, which is a potential downside. For an open-ended fund, there is no time period of which the period of capital raising ends. So that makes it open-ended. Now on the term side, as far as the time that the fund is open and when its predetermined end date is, there's no such thing. So this allows for more liquidity, more flexibility. Investors can invest throughout the lifetime of the fund, as well as in some cases redeem their shares. And these are specifics related to that specific fund. A lot of investment managers will have certain periods of which there's a lockup period, which means you can't pull your capital out. And as far as the redemption, meaning selling your shares, depending on how the fund is structured, investment managers could require a discount if you do want to redeem your shares. So this is all very fund specific or deal specific. By deal, I mean the business plan for that fund and the management team involved. And so again, there's processes to both of these types of funds. One is raising capital at the beginning. One is raising capital throughout the lifetime of the fund. And to recap, these are multiple assets, multiple locations, and it's either predetermined in a closed end or not predetermined in an open end. So the benefits, again, are really diversification and the ability to have access to multiple assets with one particular investment. Now, that can be a downside as well. And part of the understanding here is that if we were to go out back to this industrial site example in Phoenix, it's sort of, in a way, we're investing in that asset as well as the operator involved, which is some of the top principles that we follow. But again, we're pitting all of our eggs in that particular asset, which can be a great thing. And also, there's also downsides of that, but it's relative to the point of, in a fund, it's also grouped together. So it's one investment that goes into many assets, but it's one, the fund is its own entity, meaning that if one deal doesn't perform well in that fund, then it could bring down the valuation of the entire fund. So one asset that doesn't perform well can bring down, potentially hurt the rest of the fund, or bring down the value of the entire deal. And on the flip side as well, you could have some projects do really great that brings up the value. So it's all pooled together into fund versus a syndication. It's deal by deal. So these are the main differences in funds and syndication. So let's look at this, on a versus one or the other example again. So the main differences is the main difference is the profile of the investment. So one case, which is for syndications, we understand the specific asset. We understand, we can use our ability to make investment decisions by actually going to look at that asset or drive by it or look at the market or look at the immediate market, look at data and make our predetermined investment decision based on that particular profile. With funds, there is less of ability to make that decision because it's more of the idea and also relying on that operator to execute the plan. Secondly, is liquidity. Now, real estate and private equity are illiquid investments. So there's, again, there's this lockup period on a syndication. If we have a 7-year plan for this specific example, for this industrial site, there would be a 7-year lockup period, meaning that you can't sell your investment for that 7 years. Now, a lot of people don't care a lot about liquidity, and some people do. Now, for a closed-ended fund, it's the exact same. There's a lockup period throughout that fund. For an open-ended fund, there is potentially more of an ability to have liquidity. It's not like the stock market. You can't sell your shares at any time you want and not affect the market value. There is certain guidelines around that, when you can sell and if there's a discount or not. And again, back to the profile, which we'll go into our next, you know, part of this evaluation, is having the ability to control. People are biased once again. So at syndications is a very popular model, specifically in real estate. And people do like that because there's this aspect of investing in private investments where people invest based on their beliefs and their personalities. People are proud to be a part of or to own this particular type of asset. Like some people actually, you know, a lot of people want to wear it and show it off. And so there's definitely some level of pride. And because of that, people like to have the control to make the decisions of where exactly their capital is going. And so, you know, again, this the different models here are really, you know, are relative, meaning that people like what they like. But to be able to invest in something you know and the assets that you know and the markets that you know and believe in, it can be a great thing. Now, the other differentiator is flexibility. And again, this is something that is totally up to the investor again, because some people want the ability to trust an investment manager to make the decisions and be able to invest when they want in an open-ended side and be able to redeem potentially throughout that the lifetime of that fund. And some people want to just fully invest in something and follow the plan and reap the rewards for that specific investment. So flexibility between syndications, closed-ended and open-ended do differ and can be beneficial to some and some not. And lastly, which is a big subject, is diversification. So with funds, you're giving the ability to the fund manager to diversify across quality assets. And again, with funds, these are pooled together. So some perform well, some perform better than others, and it drags up or down that particular fund, just like investing in, again, the S&P 500, for example, where the many different businesses in that index can drive up or down the value of the fund. And so with syndications, you have all your eggs in that particular asset, but you can also do multiple syndications, meaning that there's multiple deals going on, but they are totally separate, which would give you that same level of diversification. So I hope I didn't confuse this subject. I think it's pretty straightforward, but it's also totally, you need to understand these two differences to make your own investment decisions. And there's a lot that goes into each of these types of partnerships. And it's all about who's involved really, and how much capital can be involved. And the Securities Exchange Commission, or the SEC, is the one that structures, gives us types of structures to follow in order to execute these types of investments. So we'll have another call where we go deeper into those types that explains what types of structures can have non-accredited investors, accredited investors, what level of capital, et cetera. So we might consider or not to do another call that goes deeper in that subject. So I hope this video brought some insight to you today as far as the differences between funds and syndications. Now, lastly here, before I let everybody go, I want to give an exclusive invite to our Limited Partners Club. This is a new community. It's designed and specifically designed for limited partners. This is a no-cost community that we've developed to create a space for investors to be involved in a community of like-minded families. So we are opening this up. And again, it's no cost. We don't plan to ever put a fee on this. It's a free community where people can come together, share ideas, ask people questions, and hopefully do some deals. And we are going to have these regular meetings. Obviously, this one's public. We'll also have some exclusive meetings. And we're planning later this year to launch our first private dinner. And so we want to do these private events where us come together as a group, talk about deals, talk about the market, and build a quality network. So I invite you to join to join us, and just to preserve to limit any spam. We do require everybody to apply, just a couple questions. And you can request to join at limitedpartnersclub.com. That's limitedpartnersclub.com. And also, I've had a few people ask how we can they've have some people in their network that they'd like to invite to join. And they've asked what the best way to do that is. The best way to do that is just to send them the link, and they can actually request to join as well. And we just approve people, and then you get immediate access to the online community. So thank you for your time today. I hope this again brought you some clarity on this subject. My name is Coburn Shepik, and we'll look out for emails or email updates on the next meeting schedule. Cheers, everybody. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.